Hey, this is Tim Page from Lead Pages and ConversionCast, and you're listening to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors, because really, who doesn't love a good crush?
Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 11.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Welcome to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, I'm very happy to introduce my guest, Gary Loper. Gary is a life and business coach, Twitter expert, radio host, and speaker who masters the business of life by building better relationships. He's a certified consultant with Bob Berg International. He's also a certified Yes Energy coach and chief relationship officer at Crystal Pathways, assisting people to recapture their yes. Gary has a strong background in marketing and sales with 30 years plus experience of customer service and 15 years of direct sales and social media. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here and be able to spend some time with you and share a little information.
All right, so let's get to know you better, Gary. So
okay.
If you have to summarize your entrepreneur journey with one word, what would it be and why?
Probably transformational. Because it's really been a step-by-step, and each thing has built on to the next. And looking back, you know, really see that each step along the way provides lessons and opportunities for us to grow. And many times what's happened is it's led us to something that we weren't expecting, but we were what we were really designed to be able to do. So does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah, because I know, as you know, I've gone through many different things. I have, you know, part of my background is a massage therapist and a healer. Mm-hmm. And so when I went into massage, I thought this was my calling. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I'm doing massage for quite a while and building, you know, getting great, you know, emotional feedback, starting to build a client base, started working with people with disabilities. And then all of a sudden that position was eliminated and the funding was gone. Hmm. But having that healing aspect and that journey just, you know, further developed on how I can relate to people, because whether they're on the table or massaging them or anything else, we're still a conduit for energy and being able to heal, whether it's through touch or words or coaching and a lot of other things. So it's, you know, everything that we've done has counted and helps us transform into what we were designed to be able to do and help serve people.
So you would say that your experience in massage therapy really helped you connecting with people better?
I was always a good connector. It just deepened it and really opened up my reception. I know that if you're familiar with energy work, mm-hmm. What I found it each step along the energy, my energy teachings and paths, you know, I have 8 different degrees in master levels of different energy systems. And it's kind of like a satellite dish. With each attunement, my dish became bigger and I was able to pull in more information. Mm-hmm. So there's more that was flowing into me, which I could be able to help serve people even better.
Wow. So I guess as an entrepreneur, you've been through some challenges and facing probably no's along the way. So if you can recall, are there times that you did not take no as an answer?
Probably. But I know that, you know, and this is, you know, probably a little different take than what you may be used to. And I know there's a common thing about you're not taking no's. But I know my background was that if I heard no, I took it personally. Okay. because there was a big part of my life where I didn't get the validation and the understanding and the respect or being heard that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So, and I've seen that for a lot of other people when they get, when they, you know, create a business or do something that they, you know, that they're looking to be able to sell, they go for the no and it crushes them because they take it personally. And what I found that there are, you know, there are psychological tests like Myers-Briggs, there's a motivational DNA that we're familiar with. And I'm an internal rewards person, and like Myers-Briggs, I think it's a feeling, you know, it's one of the feeler classifications. And those people aren't wired to be able to take no. So what I've found is, you know, there are people who can be able to take no and push forward. But for those of us who couldn't take no, what I found is ways to be able to keep building and do things that I would be guaranteed a success. It may be a smaller step, but I just looked at kept doing smaller things. And as my confidence grew, I found that it didn't bother me. I've taken some sales courses that really have helped me being able to do, you know, work on scripting and my presentation. And knowing what to be able to say and how to be able to address some of these things and understand a sales process, you know, the no's are very few and far between now. And the only real objection that we have is they don't have the time, or, you know, they don't have the time right now, the timing isn't right for them, or they don't have the money. And so, you know, still working on overcoming those objections, but I think no's in a marketing sales aspect are really a type of objection. But if you understand that some of the objections aren't really objections, they're just looking for more information mm-hmm. on how, you know, and how you're going to really solve their problem and increase the value to them. But I think really found out, you know, for me, it was a journey to look at what my motivational DNA was, mm-hmm. being able to address that, and then coupled with scripting and knowing what the common objections were and having that script prepared, knowing how to be able to respond in conversational ways that those no's weren't really a no. Mm-hmm.
So those no's came back to be yes.
Yeah. Yep.
That's great. Did you have any moment in your entrepreneurial journey that you simply wanted to give it all up?
Oh, no, never. never. I've had a few jobs that had more, you know, corporate or larger organization, and I saw a long time ago that my talents and my gifts really don't fit there. You know, it didn't seem that it was appreciated because oftentimes I had managers who had less experience than what I had, mm-hmm. and they felt threatened by me, and I had no desire to be able to crawl that chain, but they did that. I know one other example is, you know, I worked for a small husband and wife marketing team, mm-hmm. and then we were acquired by a large corporate marketing corporation, and I just really saw a soul-crushing thing that happened by, you know, that husband and wife and their team. And I just saw that. And I just saw that, you know, I don't fit there. And so why would I really want to suppress my dreams mm-hmm. to be able to go build somebody else's dreams? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very much, you know, excited about working with collaborations and joint ventures to be able to create win-wins for both of us, but never to be able to give up my dream to sacrifice for somebody else's.
So you realized that only when you were in the corporate world, or you always knew that you had this entrepreneurial fiber in you?
No, I didn't know. The entrepreneur thing sort of kicked in in 96 is when I had the first opportunity to explore direct selling mm-hmm. with an MLM company, and being able to see that, and I saw the lifestyle, I saw the freedom, and for me the MLM, you know, really didn't mesh because, again, it was needed to be able to fit in into a box. So that was a great experience because I realized I couldn't be the cookie cutter and say, okay, do it this way. This is that system. I understand the systems, but I needed to be able to modify it or be able to realize that I can't, again, I can't suppress my gifts, my talents, my desire to be able to help people. I believe it is my strength, and any other product or service, anything else that I recommend is a compliment to who and what I am.
And during that journey, who would you say has influenced you the most in becoming who you are today, especially to go through your challenges?
I don't know if it's just one person. I really feel that I'm a part of everyone that I've met or that I've observed along the way and each and every one of my experiences. You know, I've been watching people my entire life, probably, you know, starting out as a young child because I started seeing how other families were connecting and communicating with each other and going through there. And those are some of the things that I didn't have in my household. And really, you know, so I was watching that. So that has been a common theme throughout my entire life, you know, and so I just wandered around high school a number of years, got married early. And then I started realizing that I needed, you know, I decided to go to school 15 years after I graduated from high school and study marketing. And that's when I was introduced via videotapes of Tony Robbins and Dennis Waitley. And I saw that power of their coaching and their words. And so I've been studying personal development, which has grown into business development every single day since 1989. So there are so many books and tapes, probably 30, 40,000 hours worth of motivation stuff in my ears. So it's really a soup of everything, of everybody that I've observed over the last 25, 30 years.
Wow. And like, if we switch now into the strategy part of this interview, did you already get to some point where your business was stagnant? And if you did, well, what was your strategy to get out of it?
Well, I think one of the things that we're learning, and it's this constant thing, because there's always an ebbs and flows in business. Mm-hmm. But for me, the most important thing is to first, you know, build more relationships. You build more relationships, you're going to create the collaboration partners. You're going to have better connection with your clients, you know, and you can always, you know, there's the same thing, a buyer is a buyer is a buyer. Mm-hmm. So if you're stagnant, you know, go to your customers and find out what else that they need, solve another problem for them. And that can give you a little bit of boost. Another thing that I look at doing is speaking. Doing interviews, doing presentations, working with groups and teams, one that gets me out, gets me noticed more. So it's a list building activity. And then from that list building, then I can be able to continue to be able to send autoresponders and be able to continue to be able to drip on them a little bit on how I can be able to help them.
Would you say that speaking is one of the most powerful way to connect with your audience or marketing-wise?
I think it is. All my successful coaches have based a lot of their success on speaking and going out and seeing new audiences. You know, it's amazing that some of the speakers who've been around for a long time, you know, I've seen Les Brown several times. It's amazing. Les Brown is doing the same speech for about 25, 30 years, mm-hmm. and even longer. And so, you know, when he needs to go out, and, you know, not everybody has heard it. And I really think that, you know, with social media, with podcasts, with the internet, the availability, there, you know, there's a lot of shows and they're touching a lot of different audiences. So we can really you know, from the comfort of our own house, you don't have to dress, you don't have to fix your hair. And you can be able to have these conversations and been able to connect with people around the world. And then it just opens up so many possibilities. So I know, you know, there's a few other things you can be able to look at is creating more content. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about before we got on about, you know, you doing guest blogging. So, you know, the more content that you create, the more the search engines can be able to find you, the more apt that people are going to come and look at your stuff and connect on. Revising your marketing efforts. You know, I'm huge on Twitter. I'm in a process of right now of changing some of my Twitter strategies. One, to be able to put even more messages out. And we're replacing a lot of our old promotional messages and freshen them up. And this is one of the things that we teach in my Twitterverse Flight School, is that when you write a blog, you write a tweet, most people are going to look at that headline and they're going to say, so what, or tell me more. Uh-huh. And tell me more is what you want them to be able to say. So you have to be able to write some tweets that are going to be able to solve their problems, grab their attention. It's just like on Cosmopolitan and the Star and Inquirer at the grocery store, you know, the checkout line. Yeah. You see those magazines, they got that sexy title, and they're, you know, and you're compelled to go pick it up and say, okay, well, what is that? That's the same theory. I think a lot of people in social media miss that they're not solving problems and talking to the client or the prospect that will help them. You know, so, you know, we also have joined a number of other online communities where we can be able to build trust and rapport. And then when we do that, we can start searching for collaboration partners.
So which marketing strategies to promote your business would you say has worked the most for you today?
The speaking.
Yeah.
This speaking again. Yeah. Yeah, because it gets people out. It will drive them in, because I know that even on Twitter, you know, we tell people that people want to be able to connect with people. Mm-hmm. So your photo on Twitter should be a head and shoulders shot of who you are, because people want to connect with you. You know, in speaking, it takes it to the next level where that now they can be able to hear your voice. They can be able to see that you're talking as you tweet, that you're a real person and you're not, you know, you're not out of authenticity, mm-hmm. by who you are. And they can really be able to connect with you. And I think that's a critical step in this process, is because in my studies with Bob Berg, he's got his golden rule of networking is that all things being equal, people are going to do business with and refer business to people they know, like, and trust. So I like to focus on that front part where it's all things being equal. So if there's 1,000 other coaches who do something similar to what I do, I need to find something that creates an unequal advantage in my favor. So extending my voice, you know, writing more, looking for opportunities to be able to serve in that way, consistency, are all ways that people are going to be able to look and say, all right, hey, I like what Gary's doing. I like what I'm watching. So I'm going to take a step closer and be able to see how he might be able to help me.
That's very interesting. So, like, since we're talking about marketing strategies, can you say that there are some things you've struggled with marketing?
Probably my personal biggest struggle was the confidence. And being able to realize, because, you know, my wife and I were working together now, and being able to build our business. And, you know, Carol was working up until a year ago, until her position was eliminated. Mm-hmm. But it's just the two of us, and we're going through stuff, and we're building things, and we're learning as we're growing, so that we haven't built our team yet. So some of the biggest struggles that I had was recognizing my gifts and talents and be able to see that what I know about Twitter, what I know about marketing, what I know about relationships is on a par, but maybe even superior to some of the other people that I thought knew it all. And it's really was being able to tap into and realize my own genius, mm-hmm. and find that confidence. But that was a step-by-step process. I hosted my radio show. We did that for about a year and a half. In each one of those experiences, I felt more comfortable with the presentation. I got more comfortable with dumping my brain and sharing my heart. And going out there and seeing how people were able to connect with that. So I think that was one of the biggest things, was really being able to get through my own limiting beliefs on what I could do and who am I, will anybody listen to me, what am I going to share. Then when I sat through a lot of other presentations and saw people sharing things that I knew much more.
Would you say that it's part of every entrepreneur's journey, like to face this lack of confidence or thinking, why should this person listen to me instead of him or instead of her? And also the imposter syndrome.
It is. I think it's a normal part of the journey. And it is. But I think one of the things that I wish I would have known is that you can be able to reach for help, because probably everything that we're looking to do, somebody else has already done. Yeah. So if we reached out for somebody who's a step ahead of us or a couple steps ahead of us and say, how did you do this? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Because, it's the same rules apply. Whether, you're building a coaching practice or you're building graphic arts or you're doing massage, some of those, the same rules apply in being able to build the business. The same concepts are there. But I think that what I wish I would have had earlier was a team of people who believed in me and then would encourage me when I didn't have that. So they would believe in me until I believed in me.
Yeah. Give you that little push.
Yeah, and a sounding board, because I think that, and that's something that we can all look at being able to do as we continue to progress, is to be able to turn around and shine a light down on somebody else who's coming along the way and make it more of a collaboration, a more of a collective effort, because, we can't do anything about the country's economy or even the world economy or some of the other things going on there, but we can be able to do something about our own. And it's by collaboration and those masterminds that we can really be able to accelerate that process and be able to help each other. And in doing so, we're serving a greater amount of people.
If I have to ask you about a business book, which one has influenced you the most and why?
The most impactful book that I've read and experienced it's an interesting story, is this book was not published for over 75 years. The family was afraid of the title and afraid of the construct of the book. The book was called Outwitting the Devil, mm-hmm. and it was written as a follow-up to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So Napoleon Hill, a lot of people don't realize that Think and Grow Rich focused on the 500 successful people that he interviewed. So one of the other aspects of his task by Carnegie was to also be able to interview 20,000 failures. And Outwitting the Devil is Napoleon's conversation with the devil, and you can be able to figure out if it's real or a metaphor. I think it's a metaphor. And so he's having these conversations, and it's really about talking to him about why people fail and how can they prevent that failure? And so it really opened up so many things about belief systems and structures and how we got all of these things in there. I probably listened to that book on tape probably 25 times. And so it really got in and it really moved me. And I really believe that if you're struggling with some of the self-confidence and some of these other issues, absorb that book and just go, pull it in. And that's just absolutely transformational in so many ways for me.
Outwitting the Devil.
Yes, by Napoleon Hill. It was finally released, I think, in 11 or 12.
Okay. All right. So now, Gary, let's switch into the inspiration part of the interview. So what is, from your point of view, the key to financial success?
First off would be developing goals, creating the belief that those goals are attainable, and then creating an action plan to be able to make them happen. Mm-hmm. I think there's so many times, and that's where people always miss the boat, with the law of attraction and the secret. We can think about things, we can want to be able to bring them into a life, and we all are powerful manifestors. But I think we just don't focus on what we want. But if we look at our goals and writing them down, it was amazing because I've done some goal setting work, and that only like 3% of the people actually have written goals and an action plan to go along with it.
3%.
3%. Yeah, 10% have written goals. Only 3% have the written goals with an action plan.
Wow.
And so those are the uber successful people. So I'm learning along the way from the School of Hard Knocks that, all right, so I hadn't done that until recently. So, creating that action plan and focusing on those revenue producing activities. And because I know, we can get busy in a lot of other things, and especially as an entrepreneur, we're building things, we're wearing a lot of different hats. There's a lot of things that we think we need to do. My email, which I have, my second email where I subscribe to everything, there's over 200 new messages I haven't looked at yet. Because I realize it's okay, well, there's generally nothing important in there. The important email comes through my website.
Yes.
So primarily. So why am I spending a lot of time there? I'm going to carve out some time and unsubscribe from everything. But focus on something that's going to move you closer to goal. That's all part of that action plan. That's the most important things.
That's great. So, and what about spiritually? What is the best spiritual advice you've ever received?
To trust your gut.
Oh, that's so true.
and to be able to sort of define that a little bit more, that gut instinct.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that universe, source, God, whatever you're going to call it, sends us messages. It's talking to our soul, and that gut instinct is the universe and our soul trying to be able to get our attention and being able to lead us to where we need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important too, is those gut instincts sort of come, and if we can be able to start learning to hear them in the whisper. First the universe will come and bring a lesson to you, and it's going to come to you soft, and it's a gentle thing. But I guess a story would probably be better to explain that, because it's There was a guy that was coming home, and on the way home, he heard that the river was going to flood.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were saying, "Well, it's really going to be a bad flood." So we tell you should probably get out of there. Evacuate the area. So he just says to himself, he says, "That's okay, God's got my back."
Oh, okay.
So the radio was the whisper. So then he comes home, and all the neighbors are leaving, and he goes. And they say, you gotta leave. It's gonna be a bad flood. Nope, God's got my back. And then all of a sudden the water starts coming up. You know, the police come in a boat and say, come on, you got to get out of here. We'll help you. Nope, not going. Then the water starts coming up. He has to go up to the roof. Helicopter comes by with the ladder. Says, come on here. Come on, climb on up. We'll save you. Nope, God's got me. So next, he's talking to God. And God, anyway, says, God says, well, what happens? I thought you had my back. And I says, well, didn't you hear my messages? I talked to you in the radio, your neighbors, the police, the helicopter, and all the other things. And so how in life do we have that we hear messages in some kind of other media, the radio, the television, a commercial? Somebody will say something that will just spur something in our head, in our hearts, that will say, oh, that's the message I needed to be having. Mm-hmm. See, I really believe that the universe uses all possible ways of communication to try to be able to connect with us. So if we can learn to be able to hear it, we can be able to get a jump start on it until it becomes so obvious. And when it becomes that obvious where the helicopter and the water's up to the rooftop, kind of stuff, that's your world collapsing. And so you hear it in the whisper and hear the good stuff as it turns, and then you can be able to turn it into good things. Otherwise you miss those opportunities and it can be catastrophic for you.
Exactly. Well, do you have any specific advice you could give to the audience concerning how to actually identify those gentle signs or soft signs? Because sometimes they're very soft, as you say, and it's hard to take them in consideration if we're not used to listen to those signs.
I think it's if we look back at some of our experiences and say, and look at some of the things that we thought we should have done, and say, I should have gone and done that, or I should have asked this person, or, if we go back, or I should have asked this person out in high school. Mm-hmm. Look back at a lot of all the should-haves in your life, and go back to that time, play a movie, and what was going on, and so what were some of the little clues that were nudging you, that gave you that thought to be able to go do it. Mm. There are so many little things. And so if you recognize that pattern and you just start becoming more aware that when a new situation comes up and you get the urge to say something or ask for help, or to be able to take another chance on something else, you say, oh, all right. Because I really believe that when you start getting those little nudges, your soul and the universe is already telling you that you're prepared, or you will prepare. I think there was one of the people that I worked with, he talked about that, says, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So if we get this little nudge, have the faith and have the belief that you're being chosen, you're being led to be able to do something, and you'll gather the experience and the people who will you'll need to make that happen will show up in your life. But just start listening and watch the little stuff.
That was very profound.
Thank you.
How do you gain control of your emotions, Gary? What would you give us as an advice to do that?
Oh. Well, this has been a struggle for a while, but I know some of the things that I've learned along the way is yoga and meditation has helped quite a bit in some things. But probably the biggest part was acceptance. Realizing that they didn't know what they didn't know. And oftentimes I found myself reacting expecting that they were going to be thinking the same way that I was, that they were going to be able to, you know, respond in the way that I would want them to be able to respond. But as I've grown, I've been able to step back and be able to look at and say, okay, this is what this person, you can't expect something from somebody who's never done it before. Mm-hmm. So that for me becomes an acceptance. So if I know that I'm not going to get the level of love that I want from my parents, and they can be able to love me the way that they can, but it's not the same way that I want, I have to be able to learn to accept what they're capable of and be able to not take it personally. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things I really looked at is acceptance, yoga, meditation. And another great aspect that, you know, just popped into my head was that, and this was a sign that was on the wall in our massage school, was to say, why is this person or situation presented itself to me? And the answer always is to learn to love. Mm-hmm. So if we can be able to look at not take it personally and look for the opportunities on how we can be able to learn to love or how we can learn to grow from this situation. Because in reflection, I've learned that our life is like books and movies. And in order to have a good movie, mm-hmm. you need a protagonist and an antagonist. You know, sort of the Darth Vader. So if you didn't have that struggle, you wouldn't have gone. Mm-hmm. So realizing that the people in our life, the people that would push our emotional buttons, are there to be able to help us grow.
Yeah. And you spoke about yoga and meditation before to help you gain control over your emotion, but what about a good habit that helps you physically?
Physically, well, yoga, daily yoga. I probably have over 2,000 straight days that I've done some form of yoga every single day, mm-hmm. followed up with meditation. Some other things that have really helped me physically is eating better, drinking a lot more water, and also some other things that are more emotionally based that have physical connections. For me, is the better communication that we have, the better I am physically. Being loved and being heard help me physically. So, you know, if we can be able to, you know, find out how you feel loved, what nourishes you, but, you know, and I'm an example of this because I've spent a number of years building my Twitter platform, so I'm sitting on the desk and there are just some other things that have gone on with life that I've become more sedentary. And I've gained a bunch of weight. Mm-hmm. And so the doctor, you know, mentioned some things that they were concerned about. And said, well, I don't want that. So I jumped on the elliptical. So we have an elliptical machine. So I've jumped on that every day for the last month. Every day for the last month. And I started drinking a gallon of water every day. And so my weight is changing. My energy levels are up. I feel better. And like the water is a lubricant to be able to, you know, keep my body flowing. And it helps me recover from the elliptical. Yeah. So all of those things really combined, because, you know, we're all interconnected. Our work as a massage therapist, the physical, the emotional, spiritual are all connected. And if we can be able to create balance in all of those things, then we're on a magic carpet ride.
Mm-hmm. We are. Like Aladdin.
Yeah.
All right. To wrap it up here, Gary, is there anything or something else you want to talk about, like words of wisdom or a success quote that you want to share with the audience?
Okay. Well, sort of the wisdom, there's kind of a two-part thing that I thought of. Is One is to be able to embrace the chaos. I think a lot of people get hung up in the drama or the emotions or thing when things don't go well. But I think that there's a pony in that poop. Okay. So when life gives you this big pile of poop, you know, dig in there because there's a pony. You know, Napoleon Hill talked about it. He says, you know, within every situation, there's a seed of good. And so if we can be able to look at the chaos and those things that are going on there and be able to realize we don't grow in our comfort zone. We only grow in that chaos, in that conflict. So we can be able to see what it is that we don't want and how we can be able to shift directions and be able to move. And just remember, you know, farmers use that excess manure as fertilizer. So they plant their new seeds and they cover it up with that fertilizer. So I think that's an important thing is, you know, embrace the chaos and realize, like Edison said, there's no failures. I just found 10,000 ways that didn't work. So if we look at that, another, you know, and I think this is important, this is to be you and do what you do best. You know, so you look at being authentic and do that. And then to be able to look for ways to be able to serve and solve the problems of other people. Mm-hmm. And then find a way to solve a lot of problems for a lot of people. And then this is also important because expect the unexpected. A lot of people, you know, aren't willing to be able to receive even compliments and things, they get hung up on it. But if we expect the unexpected and, you know, provide this service and look for help people, put the needs of other people first, rewards are going to come to us from unexpected times and places and people. And so it doesn't often come from the place where we give, but it does come back. So expect the unexpected.
Thank you so much for all those great inspirational tips, the strategy about marketing, and also wanting to share your story with us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Well, let's tell people where they can connect with you.
Very easy. Mm-hmm. My website is garyloper.com. That's GARYLOPER. And you can jump onto my site. There's 3 ebooks that I've written on Twitter, networking, and love relationships. You'll see the banners, and you're more than welcome to be able to get one of those. You can find me on Twitter at Gary Loper. Love to be able to have a conversation with you. And if you're interested in learning how you can be able to become the master of your Twitterverse, I'd like to be able to offer, you know, your listeners a free Twitter consultation.
Oh, great.
I do a 30-minute Twitter review where we'll get together and we'll do a screen share and we'll look at your Twitter page. We'll get an understanding of what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, what kind of audience you want to connect, and we'll give you some very applicable concepts that you can be able to, you know, improve your Twitter, your Twitter presence, find your audience, and we can also be able to share with you at the time if it feels right for you on how we could possibly work together in another way. Well, and you can be able to if you went to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/review Twitter, and the R in review and the T in Twitter are capitalized. And if you go there, you can get on my schedule and we'll connect and see how we can be able to help you become master of the Twitterverse.
Oh, wow. That's so generous. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
All right. So it was a pleasure to have you on the show, Gary, and I hope we'll keep in touch.
We will. We will. let me know as I can be able to help you. You know, congratulations on starting your podcast and being able to go out there and share your voice and be able to bring other, you know, great speakers, great messages to your audience to be able to help them all grow and be able to increase their marketing and help them crush their competitions.
Thank you, Gary.
My pleasure.
All right.
Just because this episode of the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast is over, doesn't mean your journey to marketing success is done. Go to marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com/tools right now and download our free guide to the 5 tools you absolutely must have to crush it in your marketing. Download that right away, and we'll see you next time on the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast.